shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that in each one we may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we also well know God to God, and all I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for these precious words that you have preserved for us so that we may be motivated to live for you. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the difficulties in our lives, regardless of what things may come our way that may hurt us, Lord, we want to be motivated by you and your glorious love for us through your Son, Jesus. Will you please help us this morning, Father, to realize that our motivation comes from you, that real motivation to live a glorious life, an honoring life, can only come from you. Father, help us this morning as we look at your word to glean these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, everyone is motivated by something. Some people are motivated by fame. They do things so that they can get acclaim. Some people are motivated by power. They like to be able to exhibit power, and they are motivated by that. Some people are motivated by wealth. They're motivated by material things. They're motivated by money. And some people are motivated by acceptance. They want to be accepted, so they will do things to get accepted. Some people are motivated by recognition. They want to be recognized for what they've done, so they do things and are motivated to do things because they seek recognition. Some people are motivated by the fulfilling of hobbies. What gets a person up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go hunting or fishing? Because they like their hobby, right? Others are motivated by raw survival. They have to do something or they will perish. Motivation is a key to life. It really is. It's what makes us do the things we do. Now, as a Christian, we should be motivated, but our motivation should come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't come from Jesus Christ, we are going to live a very difficult life, a very depressing life, because hardships will come our way. Hardships are a part of life. And unless we're motivated by Jesus Christ, those hardships can take us over. Those hardships can destroy us. Former heavyweight boxer James Tillis is a cowboy from Oklahoma who fought out of Chicago in the early 1980s. He still remembers his first day in the Windy City after his arrival from Tulsa, Oklahoma. and he was all excited, ready to take on the world. He says this, I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago, and I stopped in front of the Sears Tower, and I put my suitcases down, and I looked up at that tower, and I said to myself, I'm going to conquer Chicago. When I looked down, the suitcases were gone. You see, he was all motivated, and then he came to reality that things weren't going to be as easy as he expected them to be. Well, that's part of the Christian life. We're all excited when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we should be, because we realize, hey, we're on our way to heaven. It's a wonderful place that we get to go. And we're able to know for sure that we have Jesus in our heart and our sins are forgiven. And we're able to go to heaven when we die. But then problems come. Then difficulties come. Then we realize that the Christian life isn't as easy as we thought it might be. As a matter of fact, it's so hard that it really wears us down. And unless we seek the will of the Lord and we are motivated by Him, that wearing down will control our decision making and get us out of the will of God. And that's what we need to avoid in our lives. So I want us to look at this passage and see how we should be motivated as Christians. First of all, we should be motivated by the absolute assurance of our salvation. Now, I want you to look at the expression here in verse 1. It says, for we know, okay? And then in verse 8 it says, we are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this body that we have, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. You see, the Apostle Paul says this phrase, we know, and this is language that is strong and unwavering. It gives us the idea that we can have an unwavering assurance that we are definitely going to heaven. There should be no doubt in the Christian's mind that he is going to heaven the moment he dies. As soon as he dies and is absent from this body, he will be present with the Lord. That's what we're told here. We're told that we can have 100% confidence and assurance that when we die, we are on our way to heaven. And it's not because of what we've done. And the Apostle Paul makes that very clear. He said, it's not because of what we've done or haven't done. Yes, we're going to be judged on those things, but it's because of Jesus Christ and our faith in Him that we can be confident. Look at verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So we understand that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, we definitely are going to heaven. We can be assured of that. You know what? That is a great motivation. To know that no matter what comes my way, no matter how hard things get, no matter how difficult things may be, I can face them and take them on because I am going to heaven. No matter what happens in life, no matter how bad it gets, I'm going to heaven. How bad can it be? When all of this is over, we know we're going to heaven. You know what? I can live for today. I can live for Christ knowing that. I can live knowing that no matter what happens today, no matter what happens tomorrow, someday I will be with the Lord and be in heaven. Now that's a wonderful thing to know. And that's what Jesus wants us to know. You know, people in this world that don't have Christ, that is a fear of theirs. We need to understand that. That's why it's so easy, when I think about it, to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Because they have a fear of death that we don't have to have, that we don't have if we're truly trusting in Jesus Christ. Neil Simon, who wrote The Odd Couple and Barefoot in the Park, was asked on the Dick Cavett Show whether making a lot of money concerned him. The studio went dead silent when Simon answered, "No, what does concern me is the fear of dying." You see, people are afraid of death because they don't know what happens after that. They don't have a full assurance in their heart that when they die, they're going to be with Jesus. And until they know that, they will fear death. And we need to have a testimony that shows people we're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of it because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we know we are fully confident that we will be with the Lord when we're absent from this body. We talked about the martyrs this morning in Sunday school. Can you imagine being martyred, being tied to a stake, and having sticks and logs thrown around you and being burned at the stake? And the testimonies of Christians that have gone through that, it's amazing. It's truly amazing that they would sing Amazing Grace, or that they would sing and look at people with forgiveness in their eyes and a peace in their heart as they face death. That is because they had full assurance of their salvation. And that's what we can have. We can have full assurance of our salvation no matter what happens to us. Even in martyrdom, we can have a peace because Jesus has given us salvation. That is a wonderful motivating factor. Secondly, we should be motivated by the working of God in our lives. Notice what verse 5 says. It says, "Now he has prepared us." God is working, preparing us for this very thing. For this very thing. "Who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." I love that. I have the Holy Spirit working in me, comforting me. You know, when things are not the way I'd like them to be, when things are very difficult, when I am overwhelmed with grief, I still have that Holy Spirit working in me. That Holy Spirit that says, "You know what, Bill? It's going to be all right. I'm still faithful. I'm still looking out for you. Everything's going to be okay." That's what this guarantee is. I love the word there that they use in the New King James, guarantee. That's pretty cool to me because that relays to me, when I say it's guaranteed, that means you can rely on it. No matter what, you can rely on it. It's guaranteed. I guarantee, Jesus guarantees, that his Spirit will be there for you. That is a good motivation, amen? To know that his Spirit is working in you, and you can rely on it. It's guaranteed that he will work with you, and help you, and motivate you, and comfort you throughout all life. He will be there with you. You know, life is like hydraulics. Have you ever seen a machine that works with hydraulics? We've got some big, heavy equipment out at the new church property right now. And I'm amazed at how those huge instruments can be moved and then dig big holes and move large boulders. That's all done by hydraulic pressure. It's because there was pressure put in those lines that are guiding those instruments that they were able to move those big things. They were designed with pressure in mind. Well, guess what? We were designed for pressure. We were designed by God to work or operate with pressure on us. So many times we get the idea in our mind that we'll be happiest if we have no pressure on us. We'll be happiest if our life is easier. Guess what? That's not how you were designed. You were designed in a way that God could put pressures on you, and through His Holy Spirit and His motivation and His direction, that pressure would help you operate. Not hinder you, but help you operate. And many times we look at pressures of life not as something that can help us live for Him, but as something that's hindering us. And I think that's a very wrong way to think. We need to understand that when the pressures of life come, it's not something that we need to look at as something that will hinder us, but as something that will help us operate the way God wants us to. You know, I'm really looking forward not to having the pressures of building a building. I really am. I got to tell you, it's a lot of pressure. But God has helped me and helped you, because all of you have helped, do something wonderful. Now, suppose we had resisted that pressure. Suppose we had said, you know what? It's easier just to stay here. Isn't it comfy here? We got air conditioning, right? Hey, isn't it nice here? It's easy here, right? We can pay the bills here. There's no problem with that. We're all set here. We got a nice full auditorium today. I'm thankful for that. But guess what? That's not what God's will was. And He didn't call us to operate in ease. He called us to operate under pressure. And that's what we need to see in our lives. Is God wants to motivate us, but if there's nothing pressing down on us, why should He motivate us? Motivate you to do what? Nothing? No. We must be motivated because of the pressure that's coming. So let's remember that. Let's remember that He is going to work in our lives. But pressures are going to come so that He can work. We have His Holy Spirit, and we will be happier under these conditions. And so we need to understand that. What we have to come is so wonderful that we should be willing to endure the pressures. Look at verse 8. It says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We have an instant reward coming. An instant reward. I remember the thief on the cross is an excellent example of that. Remember, as Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves on each side of Him. And one on this side and one on that side. I don't know which one was where, but one was, you know, mocking Jesus, and one was saying, Lord, remember me in heaven. And you know what happened? Jesus turned to him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Not when you go through purgatory, because there's no such thing. Not if you hang on the cross and do some good deeds. If you get down from the cross and do some good deeds. No. Right? It was, today you will be with me in paradise. It's an instant reward. What a wonderful Savior we have. What Jesus said to the thief on the cross was, today you shall be in paradise. Let's remember that. We need to understand that we have a wonderful reward. And our location, our next location, as far as Christians go, is heaven. A bank in Binghamton, New York, had some flowers sent to a competitor who had recently moved into a new building. There was a mix-up at the florist shop, and the card sent to the arrangement with the arrangement said, with our deepest sympathy. Yeah. The florist was greatly embarrassed and apologized, but he was even more embarrassed when he realized the card that was sent to the funeral said, congratulations on your new location. That'd be pretty bad. But hey, if they were a Christian, that's okay, amen? We have a wonderful hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should realize that, hey, God's working in our lives, And he wants to motivate us, okay? So, let's look at verse 9. It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We should be motivated by the fact that everyone will be judged by Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain this. As a Christian, you're not going to be judged like an unbeliever. An unbeliever will be judged according to what they have done, the sin they have committed, and because there was no price paid for their sins, because they didn't trust in Jesus Christ, they will suffer an eternal punishment. And that punishment will come as a result of their doing. Okay? As Christians, we won't suffer punishment for what we have done or what we haven't done. But we will receive rewards for those things that we've done that are good and for the Lord in faith. Okay? So, the things that we've done that are bad, they're all going to be cast aside in a sea of God's forgetfulness. And the things that we have done for him by faith, he will give us reward for. Okay? So there's the judgment. Now, understand something. When you stand before the Lord, even as a Christian, there's going to be a fearful reverence that day. You are going to look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the creator of you, the one who died for all of your sins. And he's going to say, well, this stuff is all covered by my blood. You did a lot of bad stuff here, Bill. You did a lot of bad. And you're going to say, I am so sorry, Lord. So sorry. But I'm so thankful that you paid the price for those. And then he's going to point to the stuff that I did in faith. I'm going to say, Bill, I'm so proud of you for doing that. And then I get to look in his eye and hear him say, thou good and faithful servant. Why would I want to not do good? When the creator of the universe looks at me and says those words, what more motivation do we need to live for him? That is something we need to see. We will be judged. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a fearful judgment coming. You need to get right with God. You need to truly repent of your sins and ask him for forgiveness of your sins so that he can wash them white as snow, so that you can have your sins forgiven and have an assurance that you are going to heaven. If you don't, you will be judged and you will face eternal punishment. And that is not something you want to experience. Finally, we should be motivated by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. It says, for we do not commend ourselves again unto you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For we are beside ourselves, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, or motivates us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Now understand something. We may act differently as Christians. We may be able to endure things that others aren't able to endure. But it's because of the love of Christ in our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying here. Yeah, at times it may seem like we're crazy. It's crazy to go all over the world suffering shipwrecks, getting beat in every city that you're in, enduring persecution, enduring gossip, enduring afflictions. That's nuts, Paul! What in the world are you thinking? Why are you motivated to do this crazy stuff? Because of the love of Christ. Oh, it may seem like he's crazy, but he's doing it because Jesus loves him. It may seem odd, but he's doing it because Jesus loves him. You know, when I watch the Patriots play, I act crazy. I do. I start yelling at the screen. I start telling these guys to get going. Especially that last Super Bowl. I was nuts.
Amen.
Why was it? Because I love.
Don't you think?
Brutal. You better be down at the altar right now.
Praise the Lord.
But I love the Patriots. So when I see them doing bad, I go crazy. When I see them doing good, I'm happy. You know, that's the kind of way it is. But when you have the love of Christ in your life, it may seem crazy to some people when you make some decisions, when you do some things. But guess what? You can be motivated by God. He's going to be with you. He's going to motivate you. He's going to help you. Why should we live for the Lord? Why should we endure the pressures of life? Why should we seek to do His will even when it's difficult? Number one, we know for sure that we have salvation, that we have heaven as our home when we die. Number two, we know that the Holy Spirit of God is going to comfort us and work in our lives to help us endure those pressures. Number three, because Jesus loves us. Oh, I forgot number three. That's number four. Number three is because we're going to stand before Jesus someday and be judged by Him. What about you? Is that enough to motivate you to live for Him? I hope so.